First John chapter 4. And by the way, good morning. Trying to get myself situated here. Let me read verse 14 through 21. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment to love one another, have we from him, that he who loves God, that word loveth, you know, you see in this ETH on these words, that's continue, to continue to love God. He that continues to love him. That he who loveth God, love his brother also. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for your word that we have just read. Instruct us out of your word. Forgive us our sins for Christ's sake. Lord, be with us. Be with us and enable us to worship you in spirit and truth. Enable this to truly be a time of worship and praise to our God. Thank you for all your mercies. Thank you for all the temporal mercies. Thank you for all the spiritual blessings that you have given us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. In his name we pray, and amen. Hold a minute. The title of the lesson this morning is Love, an Evidence of God's Indwelling. An evidence of it. There are evidences of God's indwelling. One is faith. You believe God. And you believe God because God is in you. God dwells in you. And where God is, there will be faith. Another evidence of God's indwelling is love. It's love. The very first fruit of the Spirit is what? Love. When Paul in Galatians gives us the fruit of the Spirit, the first fruit is love. Scripture says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. But he that's born of God loves God, and this man loves the brethren. It comes out of him. You can't help it. I was talking to a pastor this past week, and we were talking about the love of God and talking about faith. If it's in you, it's going to come out. It's going to come out if it's there. And he's going to love God, and he's going to love his brother in Christ, or his brother in Adam. He's going to love him. And John says in verse 14, and we have seen, he's talking about the apostles, we the apostles have witnessed life. He said that in the first chapter. We've seen him. We've looked upon him. We've talked to him. We have touched life. And we have seen him perform miracles. They watched it. This is a witness. We are reading from the writings of someone who was there. He said, I saw it. We apostles have seen this. We've seen his miracles. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him. They were a part of feeding 5,000. They watched him do that. They watched him take a lad's lunch and feed 5,000 men plus, it says, women and children. Who knows how many that was? They might have been 10,000 people there that he fed with a lunch. Don't let those little things go by. Don't let those little things like that go by. My soul, if he can feed 10,000 with a lunch, he had no problem taking care of me. He has no problem taking care of me. And John says, we've seen his resurrection. They saw him after the resurrection. They spoke to them, to him, and he spoke to them. And we watched him ascend into heaven. We are witnesses to this. We, the apostles, are witnesses to this. And this is also what we are witness to, that the Father, we know this for a certainty, that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We have a Savior. The Old Testament says someone's coming. That's what it says. Someone's coming. And John is saying he's come. We're witnesses to the Messiah, to the Savior, that the Father sent him, the one the Father promised from the beginning. This is him. This is him. We are witnesses of God in the flesh. We have seen God in the flesh. That's what John is saying. We are, the Father sent the Son. We are witnesses to the incarnate God. And he says this here, that he's the Savior of the world. Let me give you an example of something. God spoke to Noah, and he said to Noah, build an ark. Build an ark, because I'm going to send the flood, and you build an ark. And then after Noah built the ark, God brought two of each kind into the ark. It says the male and his female. Now, the animal world was saved on the ark, wasn't it? But not every animal in the world was saved. But the animal world we have today, all of it was on that ark. But not every animal in the world was saved. Christ is the Savior of the world. But he's not the Savior. He's not going to save everyone in the world. Not everyone. Not everyone. But here's the meaning. Here's the real meaning of this. Christ will save Jew and Gentile. The Jew did not think that you and I had any part whatsoever in this. But John's saying that the Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of Jews and Gentiles. People from every tribe, every kindred, every tongue, and nation under heaven. He's the Savior of them. No one will ever enter heaven, will be saved, that is not saved by Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. And he's the Savior, he says here, of the Jew and the Gentile. Now, in verse 15, whosoever shall confess. And that is a continual confession. It's your life. It's your life. Whether he be Jew or Gentile, that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in you. God dwells in him. And he in God. The very evidence that God is in me is that I believe and I confess with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. You know what that Ethiopian eunuch said? I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. He says, if that's so, that's so, that's what you confess, it's evident God Almighty is in you. That is just, I can't grasp that. You can't grasp the immenseness of God. You look at the universe. You look at all of creation. God created that. In his wisdom, in his knowledge, God created that. And he dwells in me. David was going to build a house and he said, How are you going to build me a house made with hands? God doesn't dwell in a house made with hands. You can't contain God in a house. But yet God can dwell in me. You know, over in Ephesians, it says that He is building up us together for an habitation of God. For God to dwell in, a place for God to dwell. But here's evidence of the work of the Holy Spirit. When one believes with the heart that Jesus is God in human flesh, it's evident that God dwells in that man, that person. And that person dwells in God. He not only dwells in me, I dwell in Him. God takes up His abode in me. And Christ said, if you abide in me, we abide in Him by faith. That's how we abide in Him. He abides in us by His Spirit. Salvation is more than a creed, some doctrine to be believed. It's a union with God, the living God, in Jesus Christ. That is salvation. Salvation is not believing some things. It is not accepting Christ as my personal Savior so that I won't go to hell. That's not the issue. The issue is this. It's my union to God. How can that be? How can God be a just God and He and I dwell together in Jesus Christ? He's the meeting place. He's the meeting place. He's the place where God and a sinner can have fellowship and communion together, and He still be God. Still be God. Then He says in verse 16, and we have known and believed. That's how you know it. You believe God. Don't wait to know something, then believe it. No, you believe God. David said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When we believe God, He gives us more light. He gives us more understanding. We don't say, well, I have to see that first. You know what Thomas said? I don't believe. Now I have to put my finger in his side and see those wounds. And then when the Lord spoke to him, he said, Thomas, put your finger in. He said, no. And he bowed down. Ashamed that he didn't believe as he ought to believe. And we have known and believed the love that God had to us. We know this. This is not speculation. It's real. We've experienced the love of God in Christ Jesus. We've experienced it. God is love. That's the nature of God. That's His nature. And he that dwells in love dwelleth in God and God in him. Very evident. I think the strongest evidence, I do, I think the strongest evidence that a man or woman has been saved, I think the strongest evidence of it is love. Their love for one another, love for people, their love to God. I think it's the strongest evidence. Peter, do you believe me? He didn't say that, did he? After Peter denied him three times. He didn't ask Peter if he believed on him. He didn't even question Peter's faith. But what he did question, what he did bring up was this. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. We know the love of God for us by faith. That's how we know it. And the only way to know such love is by believing God. There's no other way to know it. No other way. God is in Christ, and we who believe are in Christ. Therefore, by this union, we know that God loves us. We know by this union, by being in Christ, that God loves us. I cannot be in Christ and God hate me. God loves everyone in His Son. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And God is well pleased with absolutely everyone in His Son. Everyone. He that continues in love, it says, this is what it means. He that continues in love continues in God. He that dwells in love dwells in God. He that continues, that's what he's talking about. Continues in love, he continues in God, and God continues in him. And he says, this is the nature of God. God is love. John, we're chapter 4 now. We're going to finish this up. How many times does he bring up this matter of love? I mean, it's all through every chapter. It's through every chapter. And therefore, if God is love, where God is, love is. Has to be. Has to be. It's that simple. Where God is, love is. And then he says in verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness, not fear, but boldness in the day of judgment. And this is why. Because as he is, so are we in this world. I would to God that we could get a hold of this. As Jesus Christ is, so are we. He puts us on the same level. So are we. In this union, here's what he's saying. In this union and communion with God in Christ, love is brought to maturity. When he talks about being perfect, it's brought to maturity. And because of this, we have confidence. And that word confidence or boldness means confidence. Is what it means. We have confidence. We have confidence that we can stand before God in the day of judgment. We have confidence in that. We can face God without fear of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. As Christ is love, so are we. You know that God the Father does not love Christ more than he loves you, his children. He doesn't love him more. I can't grasp that. I can't grasp it, but yet I can give you an example. I have two grandkids. I can say this with honesty. And I have two sons. I don't love my two sons any more than I love those two grandkids. That's so. And God does not love Christ any more than he loves you. As he is, so are we in this world. As Christ is accepted and seated at God's right hand, so are we. So are we. As Christ is God's Son, so are we. Even now. Now, John said, are we the sons of God. Now. And we should have the same confidence, the same boldness in God as Jesus Christ has. Get a hold of that. We should have the same confidence and boldness in God as the Lord Jesus Christ has. We should have it. If we don't, it's because of sin. It's because of sin. And we've got plenty of that too. Now John says there's no fear in love. There's no fear in love. If someone truly loves you, are you afraid of them? Not if they love you. There's no fear in love, but perfect love, which is God's love. Only God has perfect love. Perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. He's not matured. It's absent. It's absent. But he says here, there's no fear in love. You know that if God loves you, this has meant a lot to me this week, looking at this. You know, if God loves you, no harm will come to you. You know that. You know that. No harm will come to you. Perfect love, which is God's love, drives out fear as light drives out darkness. When you really begin to understand and experience God's love, it drives out that fear and dread of judgment or punishment, torment. It drives that out. And you really look to God as your Father. As a child looks to his father. When we understand how God can be just and save us in Christ, it gives peace. Does it not give peace? When you understand that, the Lord enables you to get a hold of it by faith. It drives out fear. We no longer fear. We no longer fear the curse of the law. We no longer fear God in a slavish fear. It drives it out. Perfect love drives it out. He says here, fear has torment. And that word torment means punishment. You're afraid of punishment. Punishment. Afraid of God's punishment. You know what that shows? If right now I am afraid of judgment, I'm afraid of dying and meeting God in judgment, that says, I don't understand the gospel. I've not yet laid hold of eternal life. I'm really still in unbelief. Because perfect love, which is God's love, which is shed abroad in the heart, drives out that fear. It drives it out. This person does not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ at all. He's still lost. Then he says here in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. We do love God. I'm ashamed how little it is. In this life, we will never love God as we ought to. But we do love God. We love God because he first loved us, and our love to God is a response. It's a response of his love to us that's shed abroad in the heart. It's a response. And you're going to respond. You're going to respond. And you're going to respond by the way you treat one another. That's exactly the way I love you and the way I treat you is in direct proportion to my love for Christ. It is. Direct proportion. If any man say, verse 20, we'll wind this up. If any man say, I love God and continues to hate his brother, he is a liar. Much strong language, isn't it? But it's so. He is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? John's saying that's not even possible. It's not possible. A good evidence of a false profession is no love for the brethren. No love for the brethren. You don't love to gather with the family. You'd rather be off doing something else. No love for the brethren. John said, this man's a liar. He's a liar. Love for God expresses itself. It expresses itself in a confident, someone said, in a confident attitude towards others, void of fear, and shows concern for his fellow believer. That's what love is. Love for God is going to express itself. It's going to come out. Listen to this. The perfect love that casts out fear also casts out hate. That's one worth writing down. The perfect love that casts out fear of standing before God in judgment will at the same time cast out hate that's in me for my brother, whether he be in Christ or in Adam. Doesn't matter. Love and hate do not come from the same fountain, no more than salt water, fresh water does. And he asked this question, how can one claim to love God whom he has seen, whom he has not seen, and hate his brother whom he has seen? John Calvin said this, it is a false boast when anyone says that he loves God but neglects his image which is before his eyes. We were created in the image of God. Marred by sin. Yes, marred by sin. But nevertheless, we were created in the image of God. And how in the world, he said, how can you say that you love God whom you've never seen? I've never seen God. I've never seen Jesus Christ. Not in the flesh. But I do see you. I do see you. And when I look in the mirror, you know what I see? I see you. I see the same image. I see the same image. And John said, it's not possible to claim to love God and hate God's image. It's not possible. And this commandment, to love one another, have we from Him. God gave this to us. God gave it. That he who loveth God, love his brother also. We are most like Christ. Now listen. We are most like Jesus Christ when we love one another. When we express our love in deeds, not in word only, to one another. Love is the evidence of God in you. It's the evidence of it.